as I was looking what to preach on, I wanted to do something aimed at baby dedication. And at the time, I did not realize the verse I'm preaching on was on the bottom of the certificate. So apparently, I'm not the only one who thought about this passage. But we're going to be in Psalm 127. And while this sermon's built around baby dedication, it's for all of us. Rather you're raising kids now, about to start, finished, and now having with grandkids, it's something for all of us. It's commitments for us new parents to make. It's conviction for us on things that we may need to correct in ourselves to avoid mistakes. And it may be conviction for some of us that have finished raising kids of, hey, I need to go back to my child and apologize for misleading them spiritually. It may be conviction on how to better raise up your grandchild. But it's something for us all. Even for those that may not have kids. Sometimes different things in life doesn't allow us to have kids. But then God still has a role for you in raising up the next generation. He didn't forget you in that plan. That's a gap you're called to fill. Serving 7 years in youth ministry, I know that's more gaps than we could ever possibly fill. But we shouldn't stop from trying. We should fill every gap we can possible. So if you take time to get to learn the young people of this generation, of this time, you realize we need all the people possible to step forward, to love the next generation, to pour into them. But Charles Spurgeon once said, talking about Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. But be sure to go that way yourself. Let's pray. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you be with us this morning, Lord, as we talk about your word, Lord. And Lord, once again, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for June and Jay, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the parents that are willing to commit to raising up a godly daughter and a godly son. Lord, we pray, Lord, that through your word this morning, that you encourage us, Lord, that you convict us, Lord, that you guide us. Let us be open to your word, Lord. Let us be open to your grace, Lord. Let us be open to your teachings. Let us be open to your discipline. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather in your house. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the freedom to gather here. Bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But Psalm 127, starting in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward like arrows in the like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So going back to verse 1, unless the Lord builds his... I can't speak this morning, y'all. We're going to get through it. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. How has our life been built? What have we built our lives upon? What have we built, so to say, our spiritual house upon? What is our foundation? What is our priorities? What would June and Jay see when they're at home? What would Rosie see when she's at home? What do your kids see, your grandkids see in the home? Is it what you put on here? Or are you sitting here this morning a liar, acting like you are something you're not? But I promise you, the little ones that watch, they know the truth. They know our true hearts. You may fool us. You may think you're fooling us, because I promise you, again, from working in youth ministry and around kids ministry, your kids give away your secrets. They give away way more than what they're supposed to. So your secret life usually ain't as secret as you think it is. You got a minister praying for you that you don't know is praying for you. But how has your life been built? Is your faith more than a Sunday morning decision? Is it more than a decoration choice? Because our faith's got to be more than a Sunday morning decision of, hey, I feel like church this week. Oh, no, I'm going to go do this instead this week. Or I've got Philippians 4:13. I've got John 3:16. I've got crosses all over my house. I'm good. You can decorate your house all you want to with scriptures, with crosses. But if it's not in your heart, if it's not rich on your heart, it does you no good. What beautiful reminders these things are in our houses of the Word of God, of the power of God. But if it is not in our heart, if it's not in our souls, to what good does it do us? If it is not in your soul, if it's not transformed your heart, you're still on a path to hell. You can know the Bible from cover to cover and still be going to hell. I have talked to many atheists that know the Bible, can quote more scripture than me. They can quote more scripture than most believers I know. But then they miss the heart of it. Still headed to hell. The scripture must be in our heart. And the blood of Christ must cover our hearts. And as we think about how have we built our personal homes, how we've built our spiritual lives, the greatest spiritual impact on our children will not be the youth program. It won't be children's church. It won't be the kids program. It's not the programs. It's what mom and dad do at home. It's what grandma and grandpa do at home. It's not the youth pastors. It's not the children ministers. It's not the pastor's main job to be the main spiritual influence in the kids' lives. It's mom and dad's. Which y'all are kind of twofold. Y'all work with the youth and not the parents. Which I can testify at least an awkward moment sometimes because my dad was my youth pastor. But again, what a challenge that though is. Because I knew how my dad acted at home. I saw his godly character behind closed doors. So if he wasn't living the way he was teaching, I would have known. So I realized that's more pressure on you. That'll rat you out. But we have the responsibility to be the main spiritual influence on our kids. You can't trust the youth program. We got a great youth program. We got great people who work with the kids. But if they are the main spiritual influence on your kids, you're not doing your job as that parent or that grandparent. The programs are the youth pastor, kids programs, youth programs. They are here to help, not to replace. Many times the youth ministry, I said if parents, grandparents done their jobs, youth pastor wouldn't even be a position. If we raised kids like we were supposed to in the home, spiritually, we wouldn't need a youth program. Because so often we talk about, well, it's got to be put on that level. Your parent job as a parent, as a grandparent, it's your job to go home and explain and break it down and teach. It's your job. If you don't know the answer, if your kid, your youth doesn't understand something that's said in church, your first response shouldn't be, go ask Brother Austin what he meant. Your response should be, well, I don't know, but I'll find out. And you go study. You give an answer. Hey, I'm here to help you. But you strive to be that influence. You strive to be that place where your kids run to with their Bible questions. Yes, I'm here to help. I don't mind helping you walk through questions. But what a blessing it is if you are the place your child, your grandchild runs to when they get questions about the Word. Because that testifies to the spiritual impact you are having on their life. And what a blessing it is to sit down and talk about the Word with them. And have those conversations with them. And know where they're at spiritually. Again, what a blessing it is to have Miss Carol, Lane, and Bailey work with the youth. And all the ones that work with the children. So I'm going to leave out a name if I start going through the children. You got Miss Mary, you got Evie, you got Miss Sandy. I know I'm leaving somebody out. Sarah, Ashley, my wife, I almost left her out. See, naming names gets you in trouble. But you should have the most greatest spiritual impact on your child. They will always remember you. I got teachers through the years in church that I probably don't forget the names. That's why Sunday school teachers I've done forgot. I haven't forgot my mom and dad. I haven't forgot what they taught me. And I still see them all the time. I've got teachers through the years I haven't seen in years. But my mom and dad are still impacts in my life. Build a godly foundation. If you let the Lord build your spiritual house, you will be able to lead fearlessly because the Lord watches over you. So you won't be leading by your wisdom, by your knowledge, but by the Lord's knowledge. And as we said earlier, 2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. We aren't called to lead in anxiety and fear, but in the power of God, in the love of God, and in the self-control of the Lord. John 14:6 tells us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As we guide our kids, that's one way, that's one truth, that's one life. The world will try to teach them many paths, but we got a responsibility to teach them the true path. We got a responsibility to lead them down this path and realize, hey, the beautiful thing about it, because that's an intimidating thing. The beautiful thing about it is we don't do it by our own power. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The words are the same for y'all. There's going to be days where y'all are desperate. There's going to be days where you're going to feel like strangling them. But like, you really done it again? But then what a beauty it'll be to sit down and say, hey, this is what the Word of God says. This is the beauty of the Lord. And when you go in, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through another day discipling these youngins. But I know you will sustain me. You'll give me the strength. And I'm glad to hear amens, because I haven't quite got to learning all this yet. But amens are good to hear. But we get on to verse 2 here. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. As you build your house, the important thing to ask, where do your priorities lay? Because often when anxiety guides us, it's because we've misplaced our priorities. So again, 2 Timothy, you're going to hear that a lot this morning. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Will your days be filled with business trying to give your kids the best of everything? Or will you structure your life in order to give your children the best spiritual upbringing possible? So let's be honest, life gets busy and we'll fill it with all kinds of stuff. And so often what suffers is the spiritual walk. It's the spiritual discipline for the next generation. We'll do all we can to help our kids be in the best, whether it's academically, whether it's sports-wise, whether it's socially. But then we neglect to make sure they're equipped the most spiritually. We may spend countless dollars making sure they're the best academically, sports-wise, or socially. But then yet, many young people don't even know how to use a study Bible. They don't know how to search that for answers in the words. Whatever the hobby is, whatever they do academically, they make it tell you like that. But when's the last time we sat down with the younger generation and said, all right, this is how you study the Bible. This is how you search for answers. Hey, if you got an answer and you can't find me, you can't get up with somebody, you need to find an answer then, this is how you open a study Bible and use it to research. This is a good commentary you can use. Now, this commentary, don't use, because this will tell you wrong. When's the last time you taught your grandkid, your kids, that? When's the last time we invested into our kids spiritually? Because so often it seems like it takes the back burner. Prioritize the spiritual health of your kids, of your grandkids. Do not neglect it. And if you're done, again, if you're done raising kids and you realized you neglected it, have the strength to go back and apologize. Have the strength to go back and sit down and admit, well, you didn't do what you should have. But commit to, hey, I may not have been there to talk about with you 10, 20, 30 years ago, but I want to start anew today because it's never too late to start. Breath in thy lungs, you can start. What will we teach our kids about faith that can change this dark world? So as y'all know about the word power in 2 Timothy, it's the word dunamis, which is the word we get dynamite from. When they come to know the Lord, that's the power they're going to have in them. Amen. And in a dark, hopeless world, that's going to light it up. That's going to be a beacon of hope. When they live their life radically different for the Lord, people are going to take notice. Pray these two, again, start from a young age being that beacon of hope, having the Holy Spirit within them to give them the power to be a witness in a dark world. What will we teach our kids about the divine love of God, the agape love of God, a love that's not based on the circumstances of this world, but based on the character and who God is? Because as we go through this world, as we go through the challenges of this world, it's going to give us plenty of opportunities to throw love out the window. But as we're reminded of the character of God, the agape love of God, we realize the way we love, the way we serve, the way we behave is not based on the circumstances of this world. It's not based on the circumstances of how those that treat us, but based off the goodness of God. How will we teach our kids self-control in a world void of self-control? In a world, I say the word of Judges, everyone does right in thy own mind. Everyone does right in their own eyes. How will we teach them self-control in a world full of entertaining sin and lack of control? The Word of God. We teach them how to take every thought captive. That when the temptations of this world comes, when sin tries to entangle them, you take that thought captive. Because that's where sin starts, when we let it leak into our mind. We must teach them to memorize the words of God. So when those sin tries to creep in, they go, this is what the word says. Even it's just John 3:16. If it's Philippians 4:13, it's, we're going on with ones that many of us know. They take that thought captive. Never too early to start teaching them the word of God. And they're more capable than what you think. If I could get them to do it, I doubt they would. I'll go grab Tatum and Addie, my niece and nephew, from the back. Because at the church they go to, they do Awana, and they've got scriptures memorized. But as soon as I call them up here, I promise you, they're going to go right behind me. But they're just 5 years old, and you already can quote scripture. And started, well, I want to start at 3-4 years old. It's never too early. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No. It's just, again, going to be Tatum, Addie. Tatum, when you can talk Bible, he's going to sit down and talk to you. Addie, he wants to get back 2 words in. Okay. But it's important to persevere through the different personalities. Because no matter what personalities they're going to have, they need the Word of God. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. That's what you got to teach them. To guide them in a spirit of love, power, and self-control. But we get on to verse 3 here. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And I believe that's what's on the bottom of the certificate when I was reading this morning. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Your kids were intentionally placed. They are heritages from the Lord. They were not haphazardly brought into your life. The troubles y'all had getting pregnant with them didn't take God by surprise. They weren't meant to be here this time last year. They were meant to be here now. Because as they grow, as y'all prepare them, that's challenges, that's opportunities. They're going to be a light in this world. They were meant to be born this year. And not a day sooner, not a year sooner, not a year later. God put them here with intentionality and purpose. And as we said at the beginning, you've committed them to the Lord. You've committed them to that plan. You've committed them to that purpose. You've committed to be a part of that journey to prepare them for that. Because as we get to a minute, you're raising them to be arrows. And as it gets closer to Rosie getting here, that's scarier and scarier. But in doing that, you got to be willing to say no to your desires and yes to the Lord's. So I guarantee you probably got all kind of plans for them. I got a little plans for Rosie. But I've also got to be willing to say, Lord, if it's not in your will, change my plans. Even when it's hard to watch, change my plans. Lord, if you call them to somewhere scary, give me the strength to pray. Give me the strength to support. And I know my mom can testify that to a lot of times of praying for me. Some of the places I've been, it's always terrified to death some of the places I've went. And I remember every time my dad would tell me and my mom, the safest place for me to be was in the center of God's will. Remember that for these two. No matter what God calls them to do, the safest place is in God's will. Even if it scares the living daylights out of you, he will sustain them and he will sustain you. Won't be easy, but he'll sustain you. Ask yourself this morning, what will you be a catalyst for in their lives? Will you be an influence to walk a path of righteousness or a path of destruction? After getting over the last year and a half, I truly believe it'll be a righteous path. That you would set them on a good path. They will know what they need to know. And when they get to days where they got to make a decision, they're going to have all the facts. They're going to have the gospel. They're going to have the example. And we pray when they get to that place where it's their responsibility, they make the right choice. Verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. What are arrows meant to be for? Are arrows meant to be clinged to? No. Arrows are meant to shoot at an enemy, are they not? They are to be a light. Junie J are to be a light in a dark world. They are to be difference makers. They are not to run from the enemy. They are not to cower from the enemy. They are not to join the enemy. But they are to be a beacon of hope, a beacon of light that goes straight into the enemy and sends the enemy running back to hell. And y'all have got a responsibility to equip them with the armor of God. They're not meant to be sheltered forever, as bad as we will want to. They are not meant to be kept close for the whole lives. They are meant to send into the enemies. Now, there'll be a closeness of relationship, but you won't always be able to be there to protect them. But God will be with them every step. Mentor them in the faith and how to address the tough things in life. Don't let the world have the tough conversations. Have them. No matter how awkward they get. And just some of the conversations y'all share with me that y'all have had sometimes in youth ministry, I know y'all are equipped to have the hard conversations. Use the years you have with them well. Because as y'all have been told, as I've been told, the years are going to pass by fast. Use them well. Teach them your passions, what you're passionate about. Teach them your hobbies. But most importantly, teach them about the Word. And how to use those hobbies and those passions for the Lord. To open doors for the gospel. Because they will face evil in this world. Will they be ready to battle it? Will they be raised up well? Will they be armed with the full armor of God that is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6? Will they be wearing the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness? Will they have the gospel of peace guiding them as they go? And lastly, verse 5. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Blessedness in our life is not measured by wealth or busy schedules. Blessedness is built on a godly foundation and raising up a godly generation. Blessed is not to seclude from evil. Blessed is to storm the gates of hell across generations. That when y'all breathe y'all's last, the storming of the gates of hell does not end for the Belks, but continues into their lives, into the lives of their children, their grandchildren. That it continues,
that when all of us are gone from this sanctuary, when there's not a single one left of us on this earth that sits here today, let us have raised such a godly generation that the generations to come after them still fear the Lord. And that hurricane is going still strong, and that hurricane is still impacting the world with the gospel. Let us not cower from our responsibility. Let us not run. Let us not hide. Let us not trust on our own power, our own desires, our own strengths. But let us trust in the Lord. Do not merely ask God to bless our plans. Ask him to build them. Let us surrender our houses to the Lord. Let us pray over our houses, saying, Lord, this is your house. This is your kids. Have your will. Do your will. And Lord, if my plans do not align, change them. Change my heart. Mold my heart. Remember, a busy home is not automatically a blessed home. Rather, let us aim to have a peaceful home ordered by God, instead of a life driven by fear. Let us reject anxious striving and rest in God. Life's full of many opportunities. There's many things we can do for our kids. But let us prioritize praying for our kids, leading them in Scripture, that the only time they hear Scripture is not on Sundays, that they hear it from mom and dad on a regular basis, that they hear mom and dad's prayers for them on a regular basis. Teach them how to serve. And y'all are doing a good job at that already. Keep it up. Prioritize that spiritual formation. Remember, they are not possessions to control forever. They are a good gift to steward and then to send us arrows out for God's glory. Let us treat our children as gifts and arrows. And let's be like Hannah. And for say, for this child I prayed, and be willing to hand that child back to the Lord in full dedication. That future will require them to walk in truth, righteousness, faith, and salvation in the Lord. Raise them for that battle to come. And let us remind them that Jesus is not one helpful option among many. He is the way, he is the truth, and the life. Let us build our lives around Christ, not the culture. The culture's going to give us many ways to build up. The culture's going to give us plenty of ways to influence them. But let the foundation be Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you bless Lane and Bailey. That you bless June and Jay. Lord, that you let them build a godly household. Let them be a house that fears the Lord. Let them be a house that glorifies the Lord. Lord, as June and Jay grow, let their faith amaze us, Lord. Lord, I pray these little ones put our faith to shame. That when they get to speaking, they start memorizing more scriptures than us and tell us, uh-oh, we in trouble. We got to do better. Let these little ones push us to love you more, to love you deeper. Lord, again, surround them with your grace, your guidance. And Lord, as a church family, Lord, let us put an example of what Christ's likeness looks to them, Lord. Lord, help us, help Lane and Bailey along this journey, Lord. Let us not act in a way that hinders discipling these kids. Let not the conversations they have at home have to be where brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so acted this way, and this is how it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Let us act in such a way that they don't have to have those conversations. Let us set an example for serving and loving for these little ones to come. Lord, help us prepare these little ones to be arrows to make the devil tremble. Let us steward these precious gifts well. Let us precious the days, the hours, the minutes well. Let us cherish those moments. Let us love well in those moments. And let us share our love for you with these little ones, so they may be well prepared for the challenges of this world. And so that our time getting to know is not limited to our time on this earth, but one day we get to spend eternity with them, Lord. Lord, let your spirit move, Lord. Be with us during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.